Hebrews chapter 13, and I just want to read a couple of verses for you. In verses 15 and 16, Hebrews chapter 13, and verses 15 and 16 is where we've come to in our study of this book of Hebrews. We're looking this afternoon at sacrifices that we offer to God. By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Sacrifices. There's many sacrifices that we offer to God, and they're acceptable to Him. When we offer them through Christ, and we offer them by faith and love, Paul tells us here that they're well pleasing to Him. He mentions three of these sacrifices. He mentions praise or thanksgiving, and then he mentions doing good, and then communicating or sharing. You find different sacrifices that we're to offer in the New Testament, even the Old Testament. The sacrifices of God are a broken heart, a broken and a contrite spirit, O God, that will not despise. And the reason God accepts these sacrifices is He's the author of them. We don't do anything, we don't bring anything of our own that we're the author of that He would ever accept. It's God who works in us to will and to do of His good pleasure. If we have a heart to be thankful, God's given us that heart. If we have a heart to praise Him, He's given us that heart. And I mentioned the sacrifice Sunday here that we're to offer. He said, offer your bodies a living sacrifice. So there's many sacrifices that you and I can offer to the Lord. But none of these sacrifices atone for sin. These sacrifices that you and I want to look at this afternoon, they can never atone for sin. There's been one sacrifice for sins. It's already been offered. It's already been accepted. And it'll never be repeated. You and I studied about here in chapter 9 and verse 26. Listen to this. But now once in the end of the earth has He appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. One time. In chapter 10, this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. We don't need another offering for atone for sin. There's no need for it. There's no use for it. That one was enough, wasn't it? That's why sin of transubstantiation is so sinful. Where the priest, the Roman Catholic priest, blessed the wafer and blessed the wine, and they say they turned it into the literal body and blood of Jesus Christ. And there's just a real suffering, as real a suffering in that wafer and that wine as there was in His actual body upon the cross. That's sinful, ain't it? That's shameful. Why? Because that sacrifice don't need it to be repeated. By one sacrifice He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. But these sacrifices that we're looking at here, Paul tells us, they're to be repeated. They're to be offered continually. Offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. And one of the reasons I said that God does this, He's pleased with these sacrifices and accepts them because they're His work. We offer them, but He's the author of them. And one of the reasons God saves us is to restore in us what He created us to do to begin with. And that's to live to His praises. To live for His glory and live in His thanksgiving forever. That's why He saves us, isn't it? That we could praise Him. Hold our text there and look just over to your right a few pages, over in 1 Peter. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. Praise to God. Look at what he says in 1 Peter chapter 2, and look all the way back in verse 6. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 6. He gives us reasons here that we should praise him. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scriptures, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect and precious. And he that believeth on him shall not be confounded, never make haste, never be confused. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, rejected, the same is made the head of the corner, a stone of stumbling, rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But look at this. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness unto his wonderful light, his marvelous light. There's several things there that Peter tells us that we should praise him for. He's called us to praise him. And one, he says, you're a chosen generation. Well, I thank him for his elect and love, don't you, Clarence? We thank him a lot for that around here, don't we? He's chosen the church, and he's chosen every member of the church to salvation. Boy, and we praise him for it. He says he's made you a royal priesthood or a kingly priesthood. You know, Israel, the nation of Israel, had no priests who were kings. They were of a different tribe. But Jesus Christ has made us to God kings and priests. We're a kingly priesthood. And that simply means we can go right into the presence of God and pray to him and offer sacrifices to him and make intercessions to him. We're a royal priesthood. We should praise him for that, shouldn't we? And he says here, you are a peculiar people. And that simply means you're his purchased possession. You're bought with a price. He owns you. He bought your soul, and he bought your body. He bought all of you, lot, stock, and barrel, as we say. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. Boy, that's reason to praise him, isn't it? And he says here, he has called you out of darkness, intellectual darkness, moral darkness, spiritual darkness. You were sometimes darkness. You remember that, don't you? I remember when I was in darkness. And he called you out of that darkness into his marvelous light. They that sat in darkness saw a great light. He's caused his gospel to shine into our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And we should praise him for that. He's called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And he tells us here in our text, back over in our text, that these praises come in the form of thanksgiving. He said that there in verse 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks unto his name. We just don't go around saying we praise him, we praise him, we praise him. But it comes in the form of we thank you, Lord. We thank you, our Father. We thank you, our Savior. You know what the Bible says about thanksgiving, that we should continue in it? It's something that we continue all the time. Listen to this verse. In everything, give thanks. In everything. But this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I don't know all the will of God for my life. I just don't. And you don't know all of your life either, but we know God's will is this for our lives. In everything, give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And listen to this. Give him thanks always for all things unto the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And how could we possibly give thanks for everything? You know how we should and why we should? Because our God reigns over everything. Nothing has been created. Nothing happens to you or anyone else or anything else, but our God reigns over it all. And if He reigns over it all, then we should give thanks for it all. He works all things after the counsel of His own will. And it's said of those elders there in heaven, listen to this, Revelation 11, they fell down before God's throne and they said, "We give You thanks, Lord God Almighty, which art and was and You are to come, because You have taken unto Yourself Your great power and You have reigned." And we praise Him. We thank Him for reigning. He reigns in everything, doesn't He? He reigns in creation. Our Lord said the Father makes His Son to rise upon the good and the evil, that He sends rain on the just and the unjust. He gives us fruitful seasons. Man, my garden is growing like crazy. I got tomatoes on my vine I don't think I've ever had in my garden. Huge bell peppers. Fruitful seasons. And He fills our hearts with gladness. This Creator, a faithful Creator. And you know something, we're to thank Him for it. If it rains and waters our gardens, if He withholds rains and we have to water them with a well, we ought to thank Him, shouldn't we? Because He's a faithful Creator. He reigns in creation. He reigns in providence. All things work together for good to them that love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. And if He didn't reign over all things in providence, that verse could not be true. But He reigns. And He's never mistreated anybody here, has He? Do you know anybody that God has mistreated? I don't. He sure ain't dealt with me as I deserve to be dealt with. Has He you? He's working everything for our good. I don't care what we're going through. It's for our good. And we ought to thank Him for it. Lord, I thank You for afflictions. I thank You for health. I thank You for valleys. I thank You for mountains. I thank You for everything. In all things, give thanks. That's a sacrifice that God is well pleased with. And we shouldn't be negligent or forgetful in it. He reigns in salvation. And boy, if He didn't, none of us would have any hope tonight. We'd still be in our darkness, wouldn't we? People get aggravated at us because we say God reigns in salvation. And free will doesn't. Well, it's because He reigns in salvation we have a thankful heart. If He is like us, we'd have no hope. No hope at all. He reigns. God is not going to save everybody. No, He's not. But thank God His sovereign will has saved a multitude that no man can number. And I praise Him for it. I praise Him for it. And I praise those that He saved. We give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord. We thank God for you. And the Bible says, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks unto the Father by Him. You know, if we spend more time in what the Apostle Paul tells us to do here, continually praising Him and giving thanks, if we would do that, if we didn't get neglectful to do that, you know, we wouldn't murmur near as much as we do. We wouldn't complain about things near as much as we do. If we would just remember to give Him thanks continually. Next time you start murmuring, try that, see if it works. And notice this in our text. It said, this is all done by Him, by our Lord Jesus Christ. It's by Him that we offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. By Him who suffered without the camp. By Him that sanctified us with His own blood. By Him whose reproach we bear before this world. It's by Him. Everything's by Him, isn't it? Everything's by Jesus Christ, the Lord. The world was made by Him. Everything that was made by Him. And without Him, not anything made that was made. He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by Him. It's by Him we have access unto this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Everything is by Him, of Him, to Him, and for His glory. And we can't even render acceptable thanks and praise to God without it's through Him, this mediator. I tell you, that's important, isn't it? That's important. By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Now He goes on to verse 16, and He begins it with but. Giving thanks to His name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices God is well pleased. See, there's more than just verse 16. As important as it is, and I can't emphasize how important that is. But you notice what Paul does here. Verse 15 is our attitude towards God. That's living in His praises. That's being thankful to Him. And verse 16 is our responsibility towards one another. To do good to others. To communicate with others. Don't forget either one of these. Don't forget to be thankful to God. You do that in your heart. You do that in closet, in your closets and so on. But don't forget this one. To do good and to communicate, forget not. And brothers and sisters, I cannot emphasize verse 16 enough tonight. There are opportunities that God makes available for you and us to do good to others. And we must be careful to take advantage of these opportunities. They're seasonal. They're an open door that God opens for us. And if we miss the season, we miss the opportunity to do good, it's like redeeming the time. We may lose it. We'll not get that opportunity back again. Here's what Paul told the Galatian church. As we have, therefore, opportunity, let us do good to all men, especially those who are of the household of faith. And why does he emphasize, as we have opportunity? Because that's the only time we can do good. When God gives us the opportunity to do good. He was writing to the Philippian church, and the Philippian church was the only church that asked Paul about supporting his ministry. Can you imagine that? The Colossians, the Thessalonians, the Corinthians, the Ephesians, all of those churches never said a thing. Paul, can we support you? How can we support you? Only the Philippian church from the very beginning said, we want to support you while you travel and do missionary work. And then Paul got put in jail in Rome. And they didn't have opportunity to have him. They didn't know how to have him. And he wrote to them in chapter 4, and he says, I know that you want to help me. And you're anxious to help me, but listen to what he said. But you lacked opportunity. You didn't have the opportunity. If the Lord opens the door for you to do good to His people or anybody, and He gives you that opportunity, or He gives this church an opportunity to do good, then be careful to take advantage of it. Because God is the one that does that. Don't forget to take advantage of that. That's when the sacrifice is acceptable. And that's when it is well-pleasing to the Lord. As we have opportunity, let us do good. To do good, do good. Do good. The Bible emphasizes that in so many places. And this word communicate, but to do good and communicate, it means three things in the Greek. If you want to look this up sometime and get more information on this word, a better definition of it, it comes down to basically three things this word means. And this is why sometimes in a translation we miss these things if we don't go back and look them up. one of the things it means first and foremost is to converse with. That's the way we use it, is to communicate by telephone or by word of mouth or letter. It means to converse with. Luther said about the monasteries, he'd come to hate the monasteries. He said the monasteries was one of the most sinful aspects of the Roman Catholic Church. Because he said it separated us one from another. It separated family, a man from his wife and family, and they went and joined the monastery, took the priesthood, and separated themselves from society. They did not communicate with society anymore. And he said that was so sinful. When God sent His apostles out, His disciples out, He always sent them out by twos, didn't He? Communicating one with another, talking with one another. Jeremiah fell into this trap. Here's what he said. He said, "Oh, that I had in the wilderness a lodging place of wayfaring men, that I might leave my people and go out to them. For my people are a bunch of adulterers and assembly of treacherous men." You know it's good to stay in touch with people, isn't it? Talk with people. Malachi 3:16 said, "They that feared the Lord spake often one to another." And a book of remembrance. God hearkened to them. God listens when His people talk with each other. And a book of remembrance was made for them, for those who loved and those who feared the Lord. Don't forget to do that, brothers and sisters. That's important. Reach out to one another. Talk to one another. If you do it by phone or do it by card or do it face to face, don't forget to communicate. Secondly, it means to fellowship with or commune with. We have fellowship one with another. We walk in the light as He is in the light. We have communion, sweet communion, one with another. I love it, don't you? I've told people so many times, I could live without the church. I just don't know how. I love it. I love the sweet communion, whether we do it in an assembly like this or where we meet in our homes to talk or at the restaurant to talk. I just love to associate in fellowship with God's people. It's sweet, isn't it? I was glad when they said unto me, "Let us go into the house of the Lord." Because fellowship is sweet. It's sweet. John Fawcett lived in almost 1800, and he was converted under George Whitfield's ministry. And as a young man, the Lord called him into pastorate, and he took a little church away out in the country, Waynesgate Baptist Church. And they paid him $200 a year. That wasn't much money back then. And they were just barely scraping by, and especially as his family began to increase. And a man by the name of John Gill died. He was the pastor of Carter Lane Baptist Church there in London, a large congregation, and he had a very lucrative salary, John Gill did. And they called John Fawcett to be their pastor. And he and his wife and kids and the congregation, as small as it was, loaded up the wagon. And his wife said, "John, I can't bring my heart to go. I don't know how to leave." And he said, "My wife, neither do I." And they unloaded the wagon, and John Fawcett went in the house, and he wrote this song. "Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. The fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above." That's the way I feel around the Lord's people, isn't you? That's why you're here this evening. You're tired. Some of you have worked and did things today and you're tired. But you come here because you love the fellowship of the saints. You share. You communicate with the saints. That's what He tells us to do. That's so important in this wicked world. The third thing this means is to share. It means to converse with, to fellowship with, and to share. It means to share. To share what? Well, share yourself. It means to share yourself. I don't know if you've ever seen the little movie. Sometimes I like a good little movie. And I watched this movie, into the wild. This young teenager, he had this dream of getting away from his family, getting away from all of his relatives, getting away from society, and go up into Alaska in the wilderness and live there. And finally, he got what he dreamed. He packed up his bag and hitchhiked and got up into Alaska and out in the wilderness and found an old school bus he lived in. And I saw a picture of it. The movie had a true picture of it. He had eaten a plant, and it poisoned him. And they showed the picture of him sitting up against the old bus, and he scribbled out something on a piece of wood. And he said, "Life is not worth living if you don't share it with others." Ain't that true? Sharing of yourself. Shutting ourselves up, becoming an island. I wouldn't want to live that. I don't want to get off the grid, Larry. If some people want to get off the grid, more power to them. I love people. I love God's people. And I want to share myself with them. Share your affections. Not just yourself, but your affections, your heart, your love, your sympathy, your kindness. One of the most astounding verses I've ever read in the Bible is Romans chapter 12 and verse 10. And I can't lay hold of the depths of this verse. Listen to it. "Be you kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love." I can't get a hold of that. Be kindly affectioned with brotherly love. In honor, preferring one another. Sharing your heart. Sharing your affections. You open yourself up to be hurt that way. But I wouldn't want to live any other way. Would you? And when we do these first two, when we share ourselves, when we share our affections, our sympathy, our kindness, our time, and everything, when we do these first two, we won't have any trouble sharing our stuff. We share our stuff. We share our house, we share our vehicles, we share our bank account, we share our stuff. If we've shared our affections. "Whosoever has this world's goods and see his brother have need and shut up his bowels of compassion, how dwells the love of God in him?" It doesn't, does it? But you know, when you're full of compassion, when you're full of the love of God shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit, you can't look at somebody with a genuine need and turn away from them. It's impossible. You can't do it. I don't stop on the street corner anymore and give those guys $20 that has a sign saying we'll work for food. Oh, go get a job. McDonald's is hard. Royal King is hard. Other places are hard. Don't stand with a sign. I don't give to those folks anymore. But boy, there's true needs, isn't there? There's times you can help, not just giving money, but giving yourself and other things. Sharing, communicating. And Paul tells us here in our text that these sacrifices are well-pleasing to God. That's the same language that he uses in describing his only begotten Son. "This is my only begotten Son in whom I am well-pleased." And now he uses these same words to describe our sacrifices. "Come, you blessed of my Father." And what's he going to say of those? "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things," just a few things. And I tell you, when he tells us that, "You've been faithful over a few things," you know what we're going to say? "Lord, all the glory's yours. I never did a thing but what I saw sin mixed with it. If I did anything that was acceptable and well-pleasing in your sight, to you be the glory." That's what he's going to say. "Well done. Come thou to the joys of the Lord. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. The fruit of our lips giving thanks unto his name. But to do good and communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased." Our Father, we thank You for Your Word. What precious instructions You give us. And we know, Lord, from Your Word, we know from searching our own hearts and the experience that it's You that works these things in us. If we have a heart to do anything, it's because You're at work there. You're pleased with what Your Son did on our behalf, and You're pleased with what the Spirit of Your Son is doing within us. Give us grace to be submissive. Give us grace to be obedient and live by faith. Thank You for these precious Scriptures. Thank You for this people that's come here tonight to worship You and sing unto You and listen. And give us grace now as we go back home and back into this world. Give us grace, Lord, to be willing to bear Your shame and the reproach that's associated with You and associated with Your gospel. Don't let us be ashamed of our hope. Don't let us be ashamed of the Word of God. Give us grace. Please remember the request. Lord, remember the needs of this group. Add to us. Add to this local church. Save Your people in this place. Lord, if it be Your will. Only if it be Your will. We ask nothing contrary to Your will. And we ask it all through and by for the glory of our dear Savior, the Lord Jesus. Amen.